Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadi Gimel. We're holding the second line from the top of the Yomid, and we're in the middle of the Gishmaka Sugya, the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not you go Baser Roiv by Mominis or only by Isur. And you remember we had this machloikis already yesterday. We started on Tzadik Beis Omer Aleph, talking about a situation where someone sold to his friend a shor, and the shor turned out to be a nagchan, turned out to be a very dangerous shor. And the lekiach wants to give the shor back, and he says, I want it for radya, for plowing. I don't want a dangerous shor for plowing. Rav says it's a mekach tois, he can give it back, because roif people, when they go and buy a shor, they go and buy a shor for purposes of radya, for purposes of working in the field.
So there's no concept of buyer beware?
Not according to Rav, according to Shmuel, yes. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says that the Moichir can go and say, since you didn't specify what you needed the shor for, I assumed you needed it for Shechita. And this Nakhon is perfect for Shechita. It's a juicy meat. You'll see as soon as they shecht it, people will go and buy French roast and roast beef and pastrami and flanken. It's going to be delicious, the best meat in town. And that's what I thought you were buying it for. And so don't blame me if it's an outcome. That's not my problem, it's your problem. So, in this machloikis, Rav says, roiv people go and buy these shvarim in this local farming community for Raja. You could have known, you should have known. Therefore, harizeh mekach tois. Shmuel omar, and Shmuel says, no, we do not go bus a roiv, even though 90% of the people need it for Raja, but 5% to 10% need it for Shechita. The Moich is allowed to assume, since there was no stipulation otherwise, you do not go bus a roiv, and therefore you go after the Muchsik. The Muchsik in the money is none other than the Moich. If you lokeach want to prove otherwise, ha-moitze mechaveroi, all over I. So that was the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. We already asked two challenges yesterday from two Mishnayos, and we're going to have three more today. Second line from the top, Toshima. You have a shor, which of course is an ox, that nogach, that gored a parah, that is a cow. In other words, a female cow. And when the dust settles, we know that the shor did the negicha of the parah, and now when everybody comes on the scene, they say, hey, look what's going on over here. We have two mason. Not only do we have the mess of the parah that was menugach, but also there's an uber which is right next to it, dead on the ground. No negicha of the uber just happens to be dead. Now the question is, what caused this animal to go, since it's a dead fetus, what caused the animal to go and miscarry? Is it because this animal was miscarrying anyway? After all, a certain number of animals do miscarry every year, lahavdul, the same way as women also miscarry from time to time. And therefore, this has nothing to do with the owner of the shor that was nogach. Or maybe no. Maybe the reason why this animal miscarried was a direct relationship to the fact that it was menugach. In other words, when an animal goes and gores another animal, automatically that whole animal's physiological or whatever the proper name is, the anatomy all goes
traumatized.
Very good. And therefore, as a result, guess what happens? The animal automatically pushed out this uber, and the uber died as a direct cause because of the negicha. What's the nafkimina? The uber is dead. The nafkimina is, does the Baal HaNagchan have to go and pay for that uber's death? So we have the, says the Mishnah, it's not known to Bezdin. We don't know it was before or after. If it was it was Yolda. Yolda here doesn't mean born, but it means came out of the mommy's womb. If that happened before the Nagicha, then the Shor Shenogach had nothing to do with it, and you don't have to pay for it. On the other hand, if it's a direct relationship, direct cause because of the negicha, then you do have to pay. So what's the din? So to Mishnah, Mishalim Chotzi Nezik Lepara. We're talking about a behemoth. The nagchan over here was a behemoth tam. Since it was a tam, we pay Chotzi Nezik. So that's simple. That's no chiddush. Chiddush is the guy with the reveal of Lot. As far as this Lot is concerned, since I don't know what's the status, was it killed before, did it die before, or it died later on, since I don't know, not a moitzik right, but like Sumchis that holds Mamun Amut L'Safik Cholkin, since I don't know before or after, just split it down the middle. If I would know for sure, he'd have to go and pay Chutzi Nezik. Since I don't know for sure, then go and split down the Chutzi Nezik in the middle, and only have to pay a quarter. So that's the loch of the Mishnah. Freitimar ve'amai loit rab, that says you always go baser roiv, even by mominis, lema helech acha roiv paris means abas v'yoldais. If you go and ask the veterinarians, and you ask all the midwives for the animals, they'll tell you statistically, 98% of all parois go full term and give birth to full term yelodois, which are fine and healthy and good and everything is great. It's only a small percentage, 2%, 5%, where an animal miscarries. Aha. So that being the case, if you take a go basaroif and you assume that 90% or more of all parois give birth to normal, regular,
healthy calves,
and here you find that the animal is dead, so obviously it's not because of the normal pregnancy period, gestation period of an animal, but rather it must be because of the negicha, because if it was because of the normal manhu ibur of a para, this animal would, this little fetus would be alive and kicking and going and running. Based on the roif, shouldn't I say it's chavad because of the gicha, and you should have to go and pay not revia, but aganza chotzi nezek luchira kasha and raf. Says Rishbam, why don't you ask a kasha on Shmuel? Why don't you go and say that again? The muchzik can amoyt mechvel varaya, and that in this type of situation you shouldn't have to go and pay anything because you're telling me that my animal caused the untimely premature death. Why? Because in the Gicha, prove it. If you can't prove it, I'm the Muchzik. I shouldn't have to pay anything.
That's the Chachamim. Shmuel's hold it the Chachamim. What's the question? We have the famous Gemara, and we learned. So Shmuel.
So can't go like Simchas.
So Shmuel can't go like Simchas. So.
Okay. Well, the good news is Rishbam says he can go like Simchas after all. Why can he go like Simchas after all? Because when does Simchas say his day? That is in a case where you have a question in fact, not a question in law. Over here I have a question in fact. What is the issue? I don't know whether this took place earlier or took place later. There are no closed circuit televisions, no iPhones that went viral with their pictures, so nobody knows. When you have a question in fact, says Simchas, Maman Amutul Basafik, Cholkin. Says Shmuel, I can hold that way too. When did I say that you go after the Muchzik? That was a case of this Nakhon case. With the Nakhon case, I knew and everybody knew it. Maybe the Lekech didn't know, but everybody knew that this animal was a Nakhon already from before. No shaila about it. The only question is, when I sold the animal, I, the Moichah, sold the animal to the Lekech, whose responsibility was it to go and either be Moidiyah or to ask questions or to say, can I go and say, you didn't say anything, so I figured you needed for Shechita. And the other one said, no, you should have known that I didn't need it for Shechita. Most people go and use these animals for Ridya, for plowing. So this is not a question of fact, this is really a question of law. Questions of law, says Shmuel, then I hold Hamoitchmer Olivaraya, and the Muchzik is a Muchzik. You want to go and take my money away? Prove your case. But over here, in the case of a question of fact, since there's no way of proving it, so, even according to Shmuel. That's what Rishbam says over here. And that's what Rishbam said back on yesterday's Amud Aleph. And if you remember, Brother Shairi spoke about this yesterday. Anyway, so therefore the Gemara says Rishbam, no kasha in Shmuel. But the kasha is on Rav. Because according to Rav, you can always paskin mominis based on roiv. No, roiv, poor roiv give birth to animals which are bar kayama, which are healthy. The fact that this fetus is dead is the chayra a very clear right, and nothing to do with the natural processes of the animal. It had to do because of the negicha. So therefore, the Baal HaNakhon should have to go and pay a full 50% and not 25%. Every the Gemara, awesome. Mishum de Mesap Kalon. Says Rishbam, no. It could very well be that this Mishnah goes according to Rav. And the halach is, even by Mamanis, you go Basar Roiv. So why over here don't you go Basar Roiv? Because here, Taka, it's not because of the natural processes of a pregnant animal. About 90%, 95%, this animal would not have died. And therefore, why did this animal die, this little fetus? It had to do with this evil shor. The only question is, how did this evil shor cause the pora to have the ubra betzida dead? There are two possibilities. Also, mishum de mesapkalon de ikalameimim mikamo osa umiyabisusa hipila the nachan approached the par. There are two ways of approaching, either from the front or from the back. If the nachan came to the par in front, as soon as the par looked at that nachan, its eyes went yellow, blue, green. It looked at the nachan. Chil ura oda yoychezen. And because of that, Yesusa, because of the fear and the trembling, the animal went haywire, the whole internal organisms inside the animal. And guess what happened? The animal was mapil. Because of that fear. The ikalameimah, others could say, or at least there's another possibility, that in fact the para had no idea that there was a nakhon behind it, because the nakhon didn't come against it from the front, but rather from the back. And what did the nakhon do? And gave it a gore from the back, and that caused the animal to die. The meimer vikel meimer me'achira also umingach nogcha, and as a direct result of negicha, that's why the animal was mapil. So whether it happened because of the nakhon coming from the front, or whether the nakhon coming from the back, it's clearly because of the nakhon that this animal was mapil, and that fetus died. So now the question is, so shouldn't the Bala Nakhon have to go and pay either way? You're telling me either way the Nakhon did it. Says Rishbam, if the animal died because of Negicha, Avada the Nakhon is Chai. If on the other hand, if the animal died, the fetus died, because of Biasusa, then that's considered to be not a Nizokin, but a Grama B'Nizokin. Grama B'Nizokin is Potur. And the reason is, the Gemara says elsewhere, because Biasusa, trembling, that's really to a certain extent the victim's fault. Who asked you to tremble? You, Behema, you should have had pride and strength and felt, he's not going to do anything to me. The fact that this animal went so haywire to the point that it caused a hapala, then the animal itself is a little bit childic, a little bit guilty. So in such cases, you're potter. If you want to take a quick look at the Rishbam starts in the second wide line. Hasa mishum de mesapkalon. Kaloi mali oilam, we can say like Rabbi Mamon Hachalacha, roiv. So if you're going after the roiv, then I should say certainly that the nakhon was caused the hapola, and the nakhon should have to go and pay 50%. For also mainly taimich, the choshli mamon amutl besafik. You know why? Mishum chinami ozlin basaruba. Even if you go basaruba. Akati ikasveika, we still have a safik bahach negicha shor. Lemiftere, we could still have a 50%. Have a minute to go and say that the Baal Hashor is potter. The ikalameimer mikama kineged poneh osa Hashor v'nogcha umachmas bi asusa koydem negicha hepila shekein derech lahapel machmas pachad kimoi machmas negicha mamish. That's very standard. That's very normal that the animal is going to be mapple because of the trembling. V'kayim alon. Now the key. Hamavis chaveri potter midine yodom. The koshkin behemtoi hamiva asis. The behemus chaveri, the grubim nizokin, is potter. Not only does this apply to animals, but the havel even applies to people. If one person scares the other person, and as a result, the person loses his hearing or whatever. Just because I screamed at him, and that's the reason why he got so scared. You're potter because that's a grubim nizokin, it's not a direct hazard. So that being the case, as Gemara, this case of the Mishnah, Shor Shenogeg Tzipor, really has nothing to do with us. Because it could be Paskin like Rab. We go Basar, right. And clearly this fetus is dead because of the Nakhon, because of the Shor. Only question is it the type of Nezek which you're chayif to pay? That would be if it's Machmas Negicha. Or is the reason why the fetus died because of Machmas Biasusa? And for that you're exempt, you don't have to go and pay. If you don't have to pay, that's why it's mamun b'safik. Cholkin, like Simchas, we split it down a bit.
Who was the name of the Gemara? Umar and Bisha?
Chanan Bisha.
Chanan Bisha.
He didn't have change for the coin.
Right, right.
So he slapped him on the other side.
Was he just clapped?
Oh, it's a clap. It was right next to him.
He clapped. So there,
it was considered considered grum. It was considered nezek. Because they're mechayiv on the first year.
Well, it could be because of boishes, of busha. But anyway, that's why he was called Chanan Bisha, because he called this maisa mavish, because this embarrassment and humiliation.
So
anyway,
if nezek is in chayiv, begrama, busha is.
Anyway, you're now getting to Bava Kama.
Okay.
For our purposes, the Behema has no humiliation and no... Because the Behema is a Behema. Good. Lame Ketanoi. Look, you more let us see the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. The Machlekes Tanoi. And what's the Machlekes Shor? Shor Yeroya. Nim Tishor Horud Betzida. You had a Shor that was Roya. That was, you know, eating grass and grazing and all the rest in the pasture. And now you find a Shor Horud Betzida. Find another Shor right next to it, lying on the ground with a gore wound in it. In circumstantial evidence, it looks very much like this shor that is being roya was the one that caused the premature death of the shor horeg betzida. Aval bishazem menugach v'zem muad. Even if the shor shayu roya had already a shtempel of a shor hamuad and a shor tam, but a shor muad, and the other guy's menugach, it's dead. V'zem muad v'gach or zem menushach. It didn't have to be dafka negicha. It could have been a neshicha. As we know, if it was done intentionally, neshicha would also be a keren. Right. B'zeh mud lishoich. And this was a mud lishoich, already bit three times and killed three other animals, etc. So what's the din? Ein oimen biyadua shezeh nogchoi b'zeh noshchoi. Gesundheit. Don't go after basic logic and assumptions that this one did the negicha or did the neshicha. No, you don't say that. And therefore, the owner of that shor is potter until you can bring a raya otherwise. Amoitzi mechaberi olav haraya. Now, in this Gemara, we're not talking about roiv. We're talking about what the Gemara is going to call shortly chazaka. And chazaka is not like cheske sabatim. Chazaka means, what is the normal presumption that people would make under these circumstances? You have very strong circumstantial evidence. You got two shvarim. One is going nicely and eating and having a good time eating the grass. The other one is dead. The one that is eating the grass already has a legacy and a pedigree of being a nakhon. And the other one, nebuch, is menugach. So, using your seichel, using chazaka, not basaroy, chazaka, using, you know, a normal intelligent seichel, you assume this animal killed it. Says the Tanakhama, ignore that chazaka. Just like Rav says, you ignore roiv, you ignore that chazaka, and therefore it's like Shmuel, hamoitzim chaveir olav haray. You want to get paid, go and prove it. That's the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama seems to go with the gang, with the approach of Shmuel. Rav Acha Oimer, gomel hu oicher bein hagemal menimtza gomel horid betzidar. This is a parallel situation. The Tosis and Rishbam say that Rav Acha could have referred to the same case as the Tanakhama, but he wants to add a chidush. We'll see what the chidush is momentarily. But in the meantime, what means gomel ho'oicher? Gomel ho'oicher ben gemalim is that gemalim have tashmish male with female differently than other animals and different than human beings, where they go back to back instead of front to front. So that's why the Rav Acha uses the term gomel ho'oicher. He was living with the male, was living with the female from the back. And when they are engaged in tashmish, if another gomel comes near, and therefore it's potentially competition or whatever, the male gomel gets very, very angry and excited and starts thrashing and starts killing. And guess what happened? There's a gomel horeg betzidai. There is another gomel lying there on the ground. Says Rav Acha, anybody that has any seichel, any sense, yodua shezeh horgai. No question about it, that this gomel ho'oicher, who got so upset, and went and gave a zetz, and killed the other gomel. That's where the other gomel is horeg betzida. Why didn't, and therefore, what does Rav Acha hold? Therefore, yodua shezeh horgai, and the owner of the gomel ho'oicher is going to have to go and pay the damages to the owner of the gomel that was killed. Nobody saw it, nobody knows for sure, but the chazak is, you can assume that's a normal legal presumption that the gomel oicha got so angry and killed the other gomel. And says Yimara Savrua, the Ruba Bachazok ki Adoni Ninu. The Machloikis Rav and Shmuel is a Machloikis Lekabe Roif. But the Gemara assumed that the same Machloikis between Rav and Shmuel by Roif, the same Machloikis is the Gabe Chazok. Both Roif and Chazok is not because I have actual evidence that I know for sure. But these are rules of jurisprudence, rules that judges go by. According to Rav, the rule of Roif applies everywhere, not only by Issa, but also by Mamanis. And so therefore, if I'll be Roif, this is what probably occurred, then you follow Roif. Not that I know for sure, but that's just a legal regulation or rule. So that's Roif. On the other hand, Chazaka is very, very similar. Here too, I don't know for sure what happened, but anybody coming on the scene, either in the ratio when you see these two Shvarim, one standing there and one dead, and you know it has a pedigree of being a Nachan. And in the case of Rabacha, where you know that that's generally what happens when the Gemalim start mating, when they see potential competition, they gomel and start thrashing and killing and so you can assume that that's what's going on over here too. So that's Chazaka. So the Gemara assumed that how many Ruba Chazaka gadolim.
So what is the difference between Rov and Chazaka then? If it feels like they're being conflated into the same thing, this is the frequent occurrence. And this is the presumption.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. So what is, so, okay, so Rova Chazaka, Hadalini, what's the difference between them?
Okay, so we're going to see them up. So in the meantime, just as a short aside, why does Rabacha talk about the Gomel O'icher rather than talk about the case of the Shor HaMu'ud? So the Rishbam says that Rabacha wants to go and tell us a chiddush, that in the Reisha, the Tanakhama said, even though I have a confirmed Nakhon, I know for sure that this Anu is a confirmed Nakhon. I ignore that. You have to go and prove your case. If you cannot prove that the Nakhon killed my Shor, sorry, off the hook, the Nakhon doesn't have to pay anything. It's Chomos Vadei, the Nakhon, he's already done it three times, and you see what's going on. Says the Tanakam, I ignore that. Rebacha says, not only in a case where the Nakhon, should you certainly say, based on Chazaka, that you have to go and pay, but even this Gomel Oicher, who has a very clean record, was never taken into Bez, was never taken by the police, never accused of killing anybody. Even in such a case, if you see the Gomel Oicher and you see the other Gomel lying there, but see that, you can assume legal presumption that this Gomel did it. So therefore it's telling you a Rebusa, a Chiddush, not only a case of the Nakhon, but even in case if you don't have a Nakhon, this Gomel, if you will, Tam, nevertheless, you can assume that he did the Ariga, and therefore, you see, Baruch Hashem Mashiach is here.
I put in the fence for you.
Good. Anyway, so that's the way Rishbam does. Toysis learns a little bit differently. You'll see the last Toysis here.
Yeah.
Rebacha, how did not get Gomel, they not get Shor, the Ayribe, Tanakam, Tanakam is talking about Shor. Rebu Sashmin, the Philip Gomel Shitsunua Bitashmishoi, the fact that it does it back to back, that's considered to be a Maisa Tznius, because you don't see the mating from the front like you normally see by regular animal. It's considered to be Tznius. It's Talin and Bay, nevertheless, I'm Toyla that this Gomel did it. Why Kim Shaboyit Bishor Shoicher? Because that's its standard procedures. When it sees another animal, it starts getting very heated up and it starts kicking away. So therefore, even though it has a clean record, and even though it's neistic, and therefore I would say, this animal is such a nice, wonderful tamer. It couldn't, of course. No. I'm telling you, that's the standard practice by these gemalim o'oichrim, that they get excited and they start thrashing, and therefore you can...
How do you know that was the initial gomel? Maybe that was the competitor and he knocked off the original
paramour.
Apparently paramore.
He's still involved.
And do camels know about sneers? I mean...
Okay.
It's a borrowed term.
Okay.
Anyway, bottom line is, that's why Rabacha comes from... He changes the channel, he changes the fact pattern from short to gomel, but it really has no effect for our purposes. But once again, the Gemara is from the Ruba Chazaki Gadolin, and if that's the case, Rav that says you go Basar Roiv, we assume that he will say you also go Basar Chazaka, and therefore, since the Chazaka in this situation of the Gomel Oicher and the Gomel Horik, it's probably the Gomel Oicher, not that I have any absolute knowledge, but that's a law of jurisprudence. It's the strong presumption and likelihood that that's what happened. Amen. So that's why Rav Acha says, you know what? You got to go and pay. You go basaroyv, you go basachazak. Ushmul, the Yomik Ketana Kama, he holds, no, you don't go basaroyv. In our case, in the case of the person who sold the shard, because the royal people that are buying shvarim are not buying it for purposes of shechita, they're buying it for ridya, which Shmuel says, you don't go basaroyv. So even though over here too, I should go and say that al pi royv, not al pi royv, but al pi chazaka, I should think that the shard killed the other shard. After all, this first shard happens to have a pedigree, it's a nakhon.
It has a record.
It has a record already, so I should say that. No. I ignore roivs, I ignore chazakos. If you have hard, constructive evidence, great. If you just have, if you want...
Suspicions,
that's as good.
So what's the difference between Rav and Chazal?
We haven't gotten to the Teretz yet. You asked the question, I said, we're going to deal with that. So therefore, l'chayra, le'miketanoi, the same machlekes that we had between Rav and Shmuel, by roiv, the same machlekes we find by chazaka. Amalek Rav, no, I know the amya filetanikama. I, who seek basaroyv, I could agree here to the Tanakhama. Why? Because I can't come to Tanakhama, Hossam, Eldali, Azlina, Basar, Chazaka. Abba Basar, Ruba, Azlina. Chazak is taka, a nice rule of jurisprudence. But it doesn't rise to the level of right, because right means we have statistics. Statistics tell us, Rishbam talks a little bit about Ruba, the Isa Kaman, the Lesa Kaman. But the point is, Roiv is a much stronger indicator than just a Chazaka. Just because you have two animals, one standing there, eating nicely and grazing, and the other animal has died. Even though the first one has a pedigree, 100%. But anything that you can say is just circumstantial evidence. Well, circumstantial evidence also is something, but it doesn't rise to the level of statistics. Statistics tell us 80%, 90% of cases that what do people need? People need l'radya, they don't need l'shita, and therefore you go bust it right. Get a full refund, says Rav. But over here, you don't have any roivs. You don't know whether it's this gomel or another gomel. If anything, says Rishbam, if you're going to go bust a roiv, why don't we talk about even roiv, the lesser kaman? Most of the shvarim out there in the world are
gassel.
Are gassel, and so therefore, go bust a roiv. Anyway, so bottom line is, Zokti Gemara, Leima Rav, Yom Kervach, Shemul Yom Kervach, Zokti Rav, no. I hold Roiv, and the Tanakhama can also hold Roiv. Roiv is a much stronger indicator. Chazak is a weaker indicator, so we go Basa Roiv, we don't go Basa Chazak. Ushmul Amalcha, I know the Amri Afil Rabach. I can't become Rabach, Hossam, and the Lizdin, and Basa Chazaka. To who Gufay Mochzak, says Rabach. You know why there's a difference between Roiv and Chazaka? Rabach would agree with me, you don't go Basa Roiv. In this case, the Chazaka is stronger than Roiv. Why is the chazaka stronger than Roiv? Dugufei muchzak. Rav Acha says, we know what animals gemalim do when they are oicher. That is their standard, normal practice. And it's hugufei muchzak. Roiv, you're always talking about other animals, other purchasers, others. And you're saying, well, since api roiv, so probably in this case the same thing applies. Here the chazaka is in this animal. If you look at the Gomel Oicher Rishbam, it's about halfway down at the end of the line. Gomel Oicher Osik B'Tashmish Revia. The Amrim B'Bechoyres the Gabi Tashmish Gomel Ocher Keneged Ocher goes from the back. Ustam Behemis B'Shas Tashmish Mishtagois. They become Meshuga Umakin Zchorim Zeh. There's competition and they start fighting one another. And that's what the Tosis also said, if you remember. Kimit Sheboyet B'Shasha Oicher. So this is a chazaka, not a chazaka based on, I have book knowledge that roiv gemalim, roiv shvarim. Forget about roiv. This animal itself, chazaka do gufei mochzik. This animal itself has that chazaka in its own anatomy, in its own physiology.
DNA.
The DNA. Oh, so therefore, in this case, says Rav Acha, therefore you go and assume automatically it's the gomel that did it. Same thing as Shmuel. I agree with Rav Acha in this case, because it's not he kufei mochzik, but if it's a general roiv, then you don't go basa roiv. So now getting back to your question, what's the difference between roiv and chazaka? Both of them are rules of jurisprudence. However, Rav says, Rav on his own could hold that roiv and chazaka are both effective and both valid. And therefore, in the earlier case, make sure to go and give back a full refund. And in this case, could be that Rav would also agree to Reb Acha that Nim Tzahoring Betzidoi, Avadi, you can assume that it was the Gomel that did it, or in the case of the Reisha, you can assume that the Shar that did it. Says, however, Rav, the Tanakama doesn't necessarily agree with me regarding Chazakah. It could very well be he, the Tanakama, holds like me, like Rav, you do go Basa Roiv. The reason why the Nagchon is part of paying, because you don't have a Roiv over here. You only have a Chazakah. Roiv is stronger than Chazakah, because Roiv is just the statistics, 80%, 90%, 95%. Here you're talking about a Chazakah, okay? In all likelihood, the presumption is, yeah, probably, circumstantial evidence, you have two Shvarim, one is alive, one's dead, probably the live one killed the one that's dead, probably. But it's not Roiv. So that's Rav. And Shmuel says, on the other hand, that it depends what type of Chazakah. If you're talking about a Chazakah, the Gufei Muchzik, in this animal, such as in the Reisha, where the animal is a Muchzik, as being
has a record,
it's a Shara Muad, or in the case of Reb Acha, the Gomel Oicher, that's who Gufei Muchzik, that all animals engaged, certainly the Gemalim that are engaged in this type of Bia, are all going to get very, very violent, deranged, and insane during that period of time. So you can assume that it was the Gomel Oicher and nothing else. A regular Roiv, I don't hold a Roiv. Roiv is that. That's other animals, but it's not this animal. This animal, Gufi Mosik, and therefore the Chazak is stronger than the Roiv. On the final Raya, remember we had the Simon, Ish of the Eved, Shor, Shvorim, and the final Raya was Peirois, and of course that's our Mishnah. And we leave the Mishnah, our Mishnah, for the best, for the ending. Achron Achah Chaviv, Toshima, let's try to bring a Raya from our Mishnah. When we learned the Mishnah already yesterday, we said the Mishnah is squarely and fairly like Shmuel. Because what does it say in the Mishnah? A person sold peiros to his chaver. Remember we said, peiros, lavdavka, we really mean the seeds of the peiros. And what did the chaver do with those peiros, or with those seeds? The zarana, he planted them, they didn't grow. But for the zara pishtan, even if he went and planted pishtan, where 90% of the people that buy pishtan, why do they buy pishtan?
To grow flax.
To grow flax, and make the flax into linen, and then have beautiful sheets, and have beautiful clothing, and all the rest. So it's right. And you chai bachri yusan, you're not chai bachrayas. Zokfimara, why does the Mishnah use that term? Vafil uzarapishtan. What's the zarapishtan more? Like we just said, lav afilu zarapishtan, to rubel lizria zabi. If you're telling me that the person sold them apples or oranges or grapes or something like that, where 50% of the people, or more or less, whatever, go and buy peiros, they buy apples to eat, or to make apple juice. Same thing oranges, same thing grapes, make wine, whatever. Yes, there is a strong percentage that uses it to go and plant new apple trees, and new orange trees, and new vineyards. That's not true. So therefore, the balabus, the moicha that sold it, can honestly say, legabi all other peiros, I thought you bought it for achila. These are beautiful, plump oranges and apples and grapes. You know, I was sure you're going to make a bayer priates out loud, and answer amen. Did it dawn on me that you're going to go and plant it? You didn't say anything. You didn't tell me. So says the Tanakama, Heinechai Bachriusan. But even the case of the Pishtan, where, come on, 90% of the people who buy Pishtan, they don't go and buy it to eat flax. How people, nowadays, people eat flax seed and they go and squeeze that. That wasn't common in the good old, and even now it's not that's Roiv of the flax is useful flax seed. Roiv of the flax that's planted is to go manufacture linen and have beautiful linen garments and sell it for a nice price, or make sheets made out of, you know, linen sheets, etc. So therefore, says Ingmar, the Ruba the Zriya Zavni, Roiv is for Zriya, but for Lahachi, nevertheless, the Tanakhama says, Loyan Linan Basar Ruba, and Enechayiv Beachrayis. The Choyre, this is Mamish word for word, like Shmuel, that says when it comes to Mamanis, you don't go after Roiv. Is a starka kasha on Rav. Everything more, you're right, from our Mishnah it's crystal clear that Tanakhama holds like Shmuel. However, Tanoi, it's a machlokes Tanoi, on this very halacha, we are deciding. Let's look in the price. Hamoicha pesach habei, right? Person sold peiros. The zarim v'loit samchu, had they didn't grow. So now what type of peiros are you talking about? If there's a roin, a gino she'in necholim, it's a type of thing that you go and plant for grass in your garden. Or Rishbam said yesterday that it could also be talking about cabbage seeds or leek seeds, which, yes, people use that for planting, but nobody goes and eats those types of, you don't eat leek seeds and you don't go and eat cabbage seeds. Apparently they are totally inedible. So what's the din, says the Mishnah? Remember, we had Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chai Bachriyusin. In that case, everybody agree about the Chai Bachriyus, get a full refund, because I took these cabbage seeds. They weren't destined for Echila, they were destined for Zriya. I planted them in the ground, and guess what happened? 6 months later, zero. Total duds. Chai Bachriyusin, you have to go and pay back. But Zerapishton, if you planted Pishton, like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, like our Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, since you could argue that the Moicher, or since the Moicher can argue, I didn't know that you were going to go and plant it. I thought you were going to go and eat flax seeds, put it into fancy salads and add flax seeds, or squeeze the flaxseed oil. So you see, this Tanakama is just like our, like the Tanakama of this Brisa, is just like our Mishnah. It follows Shmuel, not like Rav. You don't go baser roiv, even though roiv people use pishtan seed for planting, and this person did that like the roiv. Guess what? Because there are 5 or 10% that don't use it for planting, but rather for eating, you are off the hook. Oh, so I see that this time of come is exactly like Shmuel, that you do not go baser roiv. But we have two more mandi omrim in this price. We have Rabbi Yossi Oimer. No, you do have to give him a refund on the pishtan. Says the top Rishbam, Sheroiv pishtan, Sheba'oilam Nizra. Most pishtan in the world, pishtan seeds, is planted, not eaten. So therefore you go basaroiv, and avada, you have to go and pay him back a full refund for giving him these duds. That's according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, Omrloi is a brand new mandi Amar, who also goes basaroiv. However, he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, and he says, "Amuloi, harbe loichen oisa ledvarim acherim." Many people go and buy flax for other purposes. What do you mean, many people for other purposes? So we'll see the Rishbam in a moment. The Rishbam is going to go and tell us that there are two types of roif, and to use one of Barry's favorite expressions, the question is: do you look at the gavra or do you look at the heftza in terms of flax seeds throughout the world, assuming that there's 100 million flax seeds, 85 million or 90 million is used for planting and making pishtan, making flax and making linen, for sure. However, the number of people that are in the business of planting flax or flax seeds is a smaller number vis-a-vis people, the other 10 or 15% that do buy flax seeds, but they don't buy them in such quantities for planting. They go and buy it for flax seeds, for salads, and or for making oil, and or Rishbam says also medicine. for medical purposes. Shkoyer, for medicine. Ah, so if you have now 101 people, 100 people are buying it for machal and for refuah. One person is buying it for planting. But the one person who's buying it for planting is buying
90 million flax seeds.
90 million flax seeds. The other guys are only buying 10 million flax seeds. So therefore, which roiv do you go against? The roiv of the chepetza of the seeds, or the roiv of the lekuchais who are buying it? So therefore, Amrulai, they responded to Rabbi Yossi. This is not the Tanakhama. However, the halacha, he holds like the Tanakhama. What does the Tanakhama go and say? That you're parted from having to pay.
Buyer beware.
Buyer beware. But the reason why the Tanakhama said buyer beware and the moichers off the hook, he's a muchzik and moichers off the hook, and you do not go baser roif. Amrulai says no. The reason why he is parted from paying is because we do go baser roif. Whether the roif, people that come into the flax seed store to go and buy flax seeds are not coming in to go and plant it. They're coming to go and eat it, either lemachal or for refuah. Since we have that roiv says, how did I, the moicher, know that this person wanted to go and plant the seed? I thought he was going to eat the seed. I thought he was going to use it for medicine. Therefore, that's why he's off the hook. So therefore, says the Gemara, I have a machloikis tanoim. Before we look at the machloikis tanoim, let's just take a quick look at the Rishbam. Omru loy, top line. You know why he's potter? Again, not because of Rav that we ignore Roiv, that we go baser Roiv, but rather the reason is Lots of people go and buy for machle refuah. Ukeneged odom echad shekana yud soin lizriya. One guy with a large volume, 10 sof is riya, in his karka. Yesh meya bnei odom, 100 others, shekoinim mias so achas. Altogether, the 100 people buy one sof lemachle refuah. Some for medicine and some for eating. Ubasarayv lekhanas lina, I go basarayv of the lekuchais and not rayv of the goods. Of the seat. And Rabbi Yossi Saba, Ruben Dizriya Azel. We don't go after the number of purchasers, we look at the commodity that's being purchased. Shayachar Hakoina Dizriya, Koina Yoiser, Mimeya Hakoina Lamachler for. That one individual that bought 10 soin, he's buying more than the other 100 guys together for Lamachler for. I'm sorry?
Like almost 10 times more.
Exactly right. Umiyo, or if you, yeah, not 10 times, because it was 10 soin against one. Good. Umiyo. Fine. Zut right, just finishing off the Rajba. Umiyu Tanakama de Rabbi Yossi, Haina Tame, the Vadi Basaruba de Zriya, Havalon the Mazel, Kirabi Yossi El Chayvai. Really, Al Piswar the Tanakama says, Rabbi Yossi has a good Taina. Since Roiv of the commodity that's being sold is being sold to Zriya, the Tanakama should say you have to go and give him a full refund. But why does the Tanakama say you don't go and give a refund? Because he holds like Shmuel, El Shein Holchin be Mammon Acher Roiv. If you're going to go and say the Tanakama agrees to the Amrulite, because both of them lahalacha hold no that refund. The Moicher does not have to give a refund. So if you're going to go and tell me they hold the same reason, because you do go basarayv, but we're talking about roiv of lekuchais as opposed to roiv of the zera of the commodity. Soi bazoi and kain my ikabein Tanakama the Amrulite, and then there's no machloikis. Tanakama Amrulite is saying the same thing. Elamai, there is a machlekes. So we have a three-way machlekes. In terms of the dollars and cents, the Tanakama and the Amrulai both agree, you do not have to give a refund. According to Rabbi Yossi, you do have to give a refund. But there's a fundamental difference between the Tanakama and Amrulai in terms of why don't you have to give a refund. The Tanakama holds like Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? When it comes to Mammon, only by Isur. And so therefore now you have a dispute. The Muchsik is the Muchsik. That's why you don't have to pay. Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that you go Basar Roiv and Noisen Loi Demei Zera. This is smacked just like Rav would hold. And what does Rav hold? Since you go Basar Roiv, then, in the case of our Mishnah, he would hold that you would have to go and pay back. Why would you have to go and pay back? Because you know that 90% of the commodity that is being sold for Zriya, and not for Achila. And since these are duds, you gotta go and pay back. You go Basaroyv. That's like Rav. Now you have Amrulai, also go Basaroyv. But they say don't go Roiv of the commodity of the Zera, but the Roiv of the customers, the consumers that come into the store. Most of those need it lamachel or lerefuah, Zakhtur Rishbam. So if that's the case, I, the moicher, how was I supposed to know that you wanted to go and use it for planting? I thought you were going to go and use it for your delicious salad or for refuah for medical purposes. Therefore, the moicher is absolved. He does not have to pay any money.
Like
Shmuel. Amrullah is like Shmuel.
Well, it depends whether you're talking about the halacha or whether you're talking about the analysis. According to Shmuel, Shmuel says that you do not go basar roiv. And therefore, Shmuel says, I can hold like the Tanakama. I do not hold like Rabbi Yossi that goes basar roiv by the Zriya, by the Zra'im. And I don't go like Amrulai that also go basar roiv, but they go basar roiv of the Lekuchais. I say, forget about roiv. You're always muchsik. And the other guy is Mechwala Raya. That's why in a Chai Bach Riusa. Now, when you said that Amrulai can go like Shmuel, it can go like Shmuel la halacha. Now, what's the halacha according to Shmuel? No, that the moicher doesn't have to go and pay. Amrulai also say the moicher doesn't have to pay, but he goes for a different reason, not because of you don't go basarayv. He says you do go basarayv, but the rasarayv of the lekuchah. Good.
That's your rov. That's like Rav.
But Rav can hold either according to Rabbi Yossi or according to Amrulai, because both of them go mitzad roiv. Right. So it has different halachic ramifications. Right. Both of them say, right? So Rav can go like either one. Right. Shmuel can only go like the Tanakhama. And now that you've explained all of that, you'll see the Gemara now is a cinch.
And Rabbi Yossi and Yimuko, you know.
That's a separate story.
Also,
that you're saying that that's
we,
why we
follow
should
Shmuel, we should follow Shmuel Bedin. Bedin Bedina. Rav Isser B'Shmuel Bedina. So now we have a later generation. We have of Tana and Amora, where we're saying that we should follow the halacha like Shmuel, but according to the Mishnah, you're saying Shval Rabbi Yossi.
Well,
so
the good news is Rabbi Yossi is not in the Mishnah; it's in a Braisa. Therefore, there's a Stam Mishnah, which is only the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama holds like Shmuel, and therefore the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, which is the only man, which is also Shimon Gamliel.
But that's explaining these Mefarish.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to see in a short moment. 100%.
Otherwise, it's like him, except in those three
cases.
The Mishnah, except in those three cases.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Anyway, so bottom line is, you don't have now a machloikis in terms of halachos. You're saying Hilchas Kishmul and Hilchas Rabbi Yosi, because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi is not even quoted. So apparently, Rabbeinu Kodesh felt that that is not a major,
reliable,
acceptable shita. We're only going with the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Ein achay b'chriusan." Why don't you have to go and pay? Because you don't go baseroy, which is just like Shmuel, and we pass like Shmuel b'dinei that you don't go baseroy by mavnes. Now the Gemara is just finishing off. We said, "Leimik etanoi tanoi." In this price, it's a man tanoi. So tomorrow, who is the Tana that we're saying a machlekes tanoim? Rav and Shmuel is a machlekes tanoim. Ilem Rabbi Yosi v'Amru Loi. Are you talking about those two tanoim? That's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel between Rabbi Yosi v'Amru Loi. Idea that doesn't work. Travayu basaruba azli. Both of them go basarai. In other words, both of them are going with the approach of Rav.
Right.
The only machlekes is Marosel basaruba d'inchi, Marosel basaruba d'sriya. Do you look at the gabro the chefza? But clearly, they both go to basaroi. So that's not the machloket between Rav Shmuel that you're saying, Leimik Ketanoi. Ella must be Itanakama v'Rabbi Yosi, because the Tanakama says,
Chazaka.
The Tanakama says, we do not go basaroi, but rather go after the Muchzik, and wait to Chalav Araya. Rabbi Yosi says, you do go basaroi, so the Tanakama would be like Shmuel, and Rabbi Yosi would be like Rav that you go after. Or, Itanakama v'Amruloi. Or you can say the same machloket between Tanakama v'Amruloi, because Rabbi Yosi and the Amruloi are both in the same category. We go Basaroi. Just a question of which Roi that you're talking about. Since Rav says you go Basaroi, so Rav could shtim either with Rabbi Yosi or with the Amruloi. He certainly can't shtim with the Tanakama. Ah, so therefore the Leimik Ketanoi is that Shmuel holds like the Tanakama, and Rav holds either like Rabbi Yosi or like the Amruloi that say you go Basaroi. Very good. Beautiful. Zokti Yamara, now we're going off a little bit on a tangent, but we're going to come back in a short moment. Tan Rabban, Mahu Noisin Lai. Remember, we said in the Mishnah that if it's Zeroi Negino, what did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Since they're inedible, Ein on Nechol, no question about it. Chai Bachriusin, you have to go and pay. Okay, so let's now conjure up in our minds the following image. You have, let's assume that September, October, that's planting season time, and this person bought a whole bunch of cabbage seeds and a whole bunch of leek seeds, and he planted them in their property, in his karka, and he did all the standard maneuvers in terms of plowing and fertilizing and irrigation and the whole nine yards. And guess what? Everybody else in that bika, in that farmland, did the exact same thing. This was the best land everybody knew for Zeroi Negino. Anybody that want leeks and anybody want cabbage, they came here, and this was the best place. Now, 3 months, or 4 months, or 5 months later, when it's harvest season, everybody else in the bikkah is smiling and is happy. Oh, I had a bounty year. Look how much cabbage. Look how much leeks. They really, thank you, Rabbi Shalom. You did such a great job. I thank you. This fellow, Nebuch, is the only one in town that's crying and crying and saying, I did the same thing like everybody else did. It was the same karka, same climate, same weather, same workers, same flowers, everything exactly the same. Everybody else had a bounty and my seeds were duds. So he goes back to the original owner, says, our mission says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the owner has to give him a full refund. Now, let me ask you, the full refund just means the price that I paid 6 months ago for these lousy seeds?
Or all the expenditures.
All the overhead that I had from that time until now. Exactly. How much you have to pay is the machlek. Tanur Bana, Mao Noisle, how much you have to pay? The Meizera, the Loyotza. But you don't have to pay the Hoytzois. In other words, the overhead. V'yishoma Av Hoytza. No, you have to pay the Hoytzois as well. What's the basis of the machlek? What's the svar? So Rishbam says that the Tanakama that says you only have to pay the Demei Zera and not the Oitzois. He says, Oitzois, that's a grumma. I didn't tell you that you have to go and be Zerah. What happens if you were to put it on the shelf and you wouldn't have used them at all? You can give them back because they're duds, because they're worthless. Did I tell you to go and hire oxen? Did you hire workers? Irrigation and plowing and this. That's you. So I just did a grumma. Grumma is not in his spot. What's the swara of the second man of the year? You have to pay even the Oitzois. Says Rishbam, Suduch tzach mir, the nearer the einai, the kenosu. It's a kenas. You, the moicher, you knew that somebody's going to go and use these seeds. We're assuming, presumably, that he knew that these seeds were duds. Why didn't you say something? You go into the subway. You see something, say something. If you knew that these seroinim are worthless, no, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you tell them? Oh, if you're deciding to go and use it for other purposes, fine. But if you
throw the books at him because you wasted this guy's time and money.
Exactly.
And aggravation.
And therefore you have a knas. Question is, what happens if he didn't know? If it's b'shoyi.
Right, right.
We have
right.
other gemaras that talk about whether concealed and shoyi got to mazer or not. But we don't have to get into it. Let's assume that it was. Exactly. Let's assume that this is mazer and therefore it's a knas. Azo yizuk rishba. Afuitza. So zuk yeretz. The gemara. Man yesh oimrim. Can you identify who the yesh oimrim are? Which one? Imam Rav Shem Gamliel, the Masnisin, did not. Let's go back to our Mishnah. You can skip the parentheses. Say Rav Shem Gamliel. Why is Rav Shem Gamliel apparently arguing with the Tanakama? Tanakama nami hochik omar. After all, the Tanakhama gave us examples. He said, if you're talking about regular Zeroyim, or even Zerapishdan, where 95% of the population uses it for planting, who they nechai bach yusen? Oh, Zeroynigina, will be Zeroynigina, where 100% of the population only uses it for planting, shein nechalim, they're inedible. So what would the Tanakhama hold? Avadi would hold chai bach yusen. So why is Reb Shem Gamliel saying, oh, Zeroynigina, chai bach yusen? The Tanakhama should say Reb Shem Gamliel. I agree with you. You don't have to scream. You know, we're on the same page, of course. So what's the machloikis? El alav l'choy the machloikis ha'itzoy k'benayim. Mar sova d'mei zera. The Tanakhama says you have to go and give him back a full
refund.
Full refund
on his purchase.
Chai bachrai is on his purchase price. Mar sova, and now the Reb Shem Gamliel comes to be moisiv. He said, no, it's not enough just the refund on the purchase price. But you have to pay him all of the tircha and the headache and the labor and the plows and the workers and all that. Omar Sabavaita as well. And so therefore, that's why we have Shem Gamliel in the Mishnah. And therefore, this machloikis that you have in the Braisa, said of Chizah, very nice, that the Yesh Omer, that's Shem Gamliel, that's coming to add. So now the Gemara initially asks, Mimai, Dome Ipcha, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the Tanakhama holds in case of Zira Nikina, you have to pay even the Haitzois. And what would Reb Shem Gamliel hold? No, you have to go and pay just the refund and not the itzoyz. So it's more like kasha. That kasha is kasha because kol tana basu litzvuyim mutzakasi. We have a standard rule. Whenever you have a machloikis between two tanoim, and it looks like the machloikis is similar, the second tana wants to go and add something to the equation. So what's the addition? The Tanakhama would only hold zero nigini. You have to give a refund. And Reb Shem Gamliel said, oh, refunds is not enough. You have to go and pay utzid zimei hoitzoyz. Okay. Zokti Gemara, but still you don't have a right that the Yesh Oimrim is Reb Shem Gamliel, because Vidilma Kula Reb Shem Gamliel. Maybe the whole Mishnah is Reb Shem Gamliel. And we start the Mishnah over again. Diver Reb Shem Gamliel. Why? Reb Shem Gamliel Oimer. Skip all the parentheses. Zeroyni Gina Shein Nechalim Chai Bachri Yusan. It's all one. Now, although the Gemara says Chesurim Mechzav Achik Tani, the Rishbam says, we don't really need to come on to so much surgery. We only need to add one letter, a shin. If you go back to the Mishnah, Hamoicha Peirais Lachaveirai, Vizorim Leitzamchu, Vafil Zerapishan Enechai Bachri Yusan. You know why you're not right? Sher Reb Shem Gamliel Aimer, Zeroyni Kinesh Enecholim Chai Bachri Yusan. Those you're chai because there's no other option, no other alternative. Nobody eats Zeroyni Kinesh. But anything else, like Peirais, or Zerapishta, where there's at least a small percentage of people that go and use it for other purposes, then in Chai Bach Yusa.
You would describe Pishtan as a Gina crop. It doesn't flow. It doesn't stem.
No,
because
so you're saying it's better with chesed mechzer.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. That's why the Gemara says chesed mechzer. But the point is that this is not so far fetched. They both are really one and the same. The Tanakam and Shem Gamliel, they both hold the same thing, and if we can say the Tanakam and Tosin Reb Shem Gamliel Ale, if that's the case, we said before V'yeshamim Afritzo, Rav Chizda said that's Reb Shem Gamliel. He doesn't mean Reb Shem Gamliel of our Mishnah, because there's no sign whatsoever in our Mishnah that you have to pay anything more than the standard refund. So which Reb Shem Gamliel? Elaha Reb Shem Gamliel Lasanya, a brand new braisa. And here it's crystal clear what Reb Shem Gamliel holds. If you go and take the chitim to the person, to the mill, for grinding. Now, the custom is that when you bring such chitim, if they have the chaff and whatever other impurities in the chitim, that you first soak them in water to get some of the chaff or whatever off. For Loisisan, this person made a mistake and he didn't do that lesisa. We had a discussion about this, if you remember, Mesechtes Psachim, whether that would make it chometz or not. Anyway, he didn't put it into that. Vasoina, as a result, it didn't make good, beautiful bread or beautiful flour. Rather, was suben or morsan. As a result, it was inferior quality. Or he gave kemach nachtoim. He went over to the baker and he says, here, here's beautiful flour. Please go and bake a cake, bake a challah, whatever. Vafoi pasti point. He did a lousy job, and the pasta that he got back is falling to pieces. Or he gave a behemah letabach. He gave a behemah to the shaykhit to go and shech, v'nibla, and he made it into an avela. So what's the halach in all these cases?
Excuse me, in the case of the mill, who, and whose responsibility is it to soak it?
The tochen.
The tochen, thank you, okay. Sure. It's not pre-soaked by the owner.
No.
Thank you.
No.
In all cases, the uman failed.
The uman failed. He goofed. Chayvim neshehu kinois yisachar. And the Rishbam says, you know, if they kinois yisachar, he is a nois yisachar. He gets paid. He's an uman. He gets paid for his work. He did a lousy job. And then don't pay him and finished. So you get, if you will, a full refund on the item that you gave. He gave you now pas lipoilim instead of regular pas. He gave you this lousy subin amorsan. So whatever damages you have, he's going to have to pay him. Because after all, he's a professional and he messed up. Reb Shem Gamliel Oimer, that's not enough. Noisan loy demei boishta, you demei boishas orchav. What happens if the person is making a chasana or a sheva brachas or a kiddush and he serves on the table pas lipoilim instead of a regular pas? Or for that matter, he didn't go and serve any cake whatsoever. And people said, why didn't you go and serve any cake?
Sour.
He says, I gave it. It went sour, it went spoiled, it rotted, it was no good. Who did it? That toichen, because he didn't do a proper job. And instead of coming out nice, pure flour to go and bake a cake, he gave me back bran, he gave me more. So therefore, can you imagine this person has all of this
pressure?
I'm trying to think of a nice pun, but it's not working. He has... It's a cake on his face. No, that's not the way. Whatever. Anyway, the bottom line is he's embarrassed. So, says Reb Shem Gamliel, it's not enough just to go and pay the refund. You got to go and pay the Tamei Boishes as well. V'cheno Reb Shem Gamliel, a minik godoy bishlam, yagroisa minik, hamoisa seuda lachavera, the kilkala. You hand over the seuda to your chaver, in other words, caterer, go and do a beautiful job, and he messed up terribly. Everybody the next morning had to go to the hospital with botulism. They all had stomach aches, what he served over there. A similar minik. You have an open door policy for Orchim, but it's not 24 hours. It's only until 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock. You have to be able to go to sleep as well. So you put up a Mapa Prusa Gabi Pesach of this, that Mapa Prusa. Everybody knows. And you can go in, you don't even have to ring the bell. Come on in, there's food for you, and there's goodies and all the rest. Nistalka mapa, the mapa is away. Eino orchim nechnasin, then you have to wait till the next day when they put the mapa up.
How does that follow?
The point of these two. The reason why we're putting these two together is to tell you that in Yerushalayim, they made these two menhagim for the benefit of all the orchim, and for the benefit of the host. That in case of the first case, that if the host is embarrassed,
Godol Bishlaim is a connection.
Yeah, but it's not. We didn't talk about it in a case of Yibam and Chalitza. Now the second
minute.
It's talking about it. Then Achnosas Orchim. That if the Machnas Orchim is embarrassed because the supplier or the caterer did a bad job, then you have to go and pay the Demei Busha as well. Why? Because we're concerned about the covet of the host and the covet of the Orchim. The Orchim, they have to go to the hospital because they have botulism, they have stomach aches, and you got to pay for that. And I'm also concerned about the host and the Orchim in the second minute, that they should come at the right time. If the Orchim come after hours, they won't be able to eat. So what's the best way of knowing? See where the map is proof, so you can go in, give them diet, and the orchim will be yoichlu anovim v'yizbo. Otherwise, they have to go and find somewhere else to get food or come back the next day. Anyway, so what's the right for this from Shem Gamliel? Shem Gamliel says, not only do you have to pay a refund on the bad goods, but also the repercussions of your act. Your act by giving me this lousy bran instead of proper flour, or giving me pasni poilin instead of good bread, or giving me treifa meat and veil of meat. I can't serve that at the meal. I'm full of busha. I have egg all over my face, or I have all the nevelis and treifas all over my face. So therefore, you have to pay for that. Similarly over here too, you have to pay for the hoitzois of these seeds that were duds, that did not grow. Not only do you pay me a full refund for that, but you have to pay me for the hoitzois, those additional the additional expenses. So that's the same Reb Shem Gamliel that doesn't look only at the direct effect, but also look at the repercussions of your actions. Those you have to pay as well. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. We continue tomorrow.